Hallelujah. God is good, and God is good all the time. And He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. Certainly we give God honor. We give Him praise. We worship Him. We worship Him for who He is. He's God. He's above all, and all is beneath Him. Come on. Come on, if you got a praise in you, get it out. Give it to Him today. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Bless His name. 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 Glory to the name of God. Hallelujah. 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 God, I thank You. God, I thank You. God, I thank You. Lord, I thank You.
Lord, I adore You.
Lord, I adore You. Lord,
you love Him today. Lifted hands.
Lord, I love You. Lord, I love You. Lord, I love You. Lord, I love You.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Certainly we greet you in the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's above all and all is beneath Him. Certainly He has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory and present in this place. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God has blessed us beyond enumeration. We can't count the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us. And certainly, amen. We worship Him. We show forth the worship of the Lord in our lives. Certainly He is worth everything, because without Him we can do nothing. Thank God for the presence of these preachers and pastors in the persons of Dr. Walker, Reverend McCoy, Dr. Edward E. Rogers, and Reverend Skipper. Thank God for the presence of Dr. Rogers, his wife, Sister Rogers, Sister Walker, Sister Rogers, my wife, and a portion of my family is here. My sister-in-law and her daughter, Denisha, Smiley, and Serenity. And my daughter and son, oldest daughter and youngest son, Taylor and Titus, and then little Trinity. We will have a dedicatory service today for Trinity. And I will explain just what that is to give clarity right before our benediction. Listen, thank God for all of you, certainly to the choir, the men that have sung so melodiously, the musicians, minister of music, to the environmental safety team, and our sisters, deacon wives, minister wives, and trustee wives who have devoted us on today. Thank you for your pleasant presence and presentation of song, scripture, and prayer. The ground has been tilled. Now it's time for the sowing of the seed of God's word. Amen. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Verses 26 to 39. Luke chapter 8. It's good for us to be alive, alert and active. Good to be in the house of the Lord. There are so many places, many people that would love to switch places with us. And we're blessed beyond measure. And certainly we should be glad about it. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarene, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech you, torment me not." And he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man, and oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and he besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, and they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Abounding power of Jesus Christ. I stress the word "and published" because if we expect the city of Bessemer to get saved, we have to say something. We got to go saying something. He published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. The abounding power of Jesus Christ. This particular passage is somewhat hard to preach because there are opposing beliefs, opinions about demons. Some people believe demons don't exist, and others believe that they don't exist to the extent that they existed during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Some still believe that they exist, but they only exist within certain parts of the world. There is mystification and a misapprehension concerning demons. Let me pause onset of this particular preaching assignment to say to us that demons are real. Matter of fact, you ought to look at somebody and help me preach this sermon by saying to them, demons are real. They're real. They are evil spirits, workers of darkness, fallen angels that lead to destruction. In contrast to the good purposes of the mission that faithful angels fulfill, demons are real. The Bible called demons devils. In James chapter 2 verse 19, call them unclean spirits according to Matthew chapter 10 verse 1. Evil spirits according to Luke chapter 8 verse 2. Adversaries according to 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Angels that sin, fallen angels, angels that are delivered into the chains of darkness according to 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. Demons are real. To deny the existence of demons is to deny the biblical account of demons, and to deny the biblical account of demons is to regard the Bible as irreverent, errant, and fallible, which means that the Bible cannot be trusted. But I serve you notice today that the Bible can be trusted because the Bible is the inerrant word of God. And if the Bible declares that demons are real, they are real. I don't have to see one. I don't have to feel one to know that they are real. I know they are real because the Bible say they're real. That's a good reason to believe. Because the Bible says they're real. Not only does the Bible say they're real, but we can see the evidence of demons in our world today. We see the murderous spirit of demons. The deceitful spirit of demons. We see the mischief spirit of demons in our world today. They're real. Look at somebody and say, they are real. After a tough night of sailing across the Sea of Galilee, Jesus and his disciples made it to the country of the Gadarenes. They landed in the region called Gadara. And Gadara is a city or a region on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee and on the east side of the Jordan River. There in Gadara is a population of Gentile people, and we know it to be Gentile people from the fact that there were swine. Shepherds herding swines. Jews then deal with swine or pigs because the law declared them to be unclean. They're in Gentile territory. Jesus is, he sails into the territory of the Gentile, and this is the first time that he's ministering in Gentile territory. And the fact that he went into Gentile territory points out that the gospel is for the Gentiles as well as for the Jewish people, and the kingdom of heaven is for the Gentiles as well. In Gadara, a demonic man possessed with a legion of demons greets Jesus and his disciples. Legion of demons. Legion was not the man's name. The word legion tells us the number of demons that possessed the man. The demonic man had anywhere from 3,000 to 5,200 demons in him. Not just one demon, but thousands of demons. Thousands of demons in one man, possessing one man. And when Jesus asked the man his name, instead of him giving him his name, the demons revealed to Jesus their number. Their significance in the number. Because the number, or the word legion, represents overwhelming power. That demons have power that no man by his own strength can resist. Power that no man by his own strength can subdue. The demons were powerful. They were powerful and they are powerful, but they are no match for Jesus Christ. That's the shout cue of the text today is, yes, demons are powerful, and by our own strength and ability, we can't handle them. But I know someone who will come where you are, who can turn things around for you, who can deliver you from the grip and the grab of demon possession. And his name is Jesus. Somebody ought to shout Jesus to help somebody believe in here today that Jesus is able to deliver us from the power of demon possession. A major aspect of Jesus' ministry was to defeat Satan and his imps. He had run-ins with him. Matter of fact, after he was baptized, the first thing he put in order and set in place was his power over Satan. The Bible says, according to Matthew chapter 4, he was
taken up by the Spirit and driven into the wilderness where he had an appointment with Satan himself. He was tempted three times. And each time he combated Satan's temptation with the Word of God. Listen, if you don't get stuff situated in your ministry in the onset, what you don't handle first will handle you later. He set Satan in his place, and every time Satan reared up his head, Jesus put him back in his place. He's there in Gadara. He is a man, demon possessed, living among the dead, wearing no clothes. And he has a run in with Jesus. Several things. I want to diverge from the text, and then I'll bid you farewell. First of all, demons separate their victims from normal living. They separate their victims from normal living. The demons had subdued and abased the man, that they stripped him of his humanity. He didn't act like a human being. He acted like a brute beast. He acted as if he was an animal. And he has this run-in with Jesus. And notice now that this man, prior to meeting Jesus and being delivered, he lived an abnormal life. Verse 27 says that there the man lived in the tomb or in the cemetery with no clothes on. There's something wrong with people who won't put clothes on. There's something wrong with people who want to walk around exposing themselves. Listen, I don't care what the cultural norm is. Listen, there are some things you ought not do because it's abnormal to do. This man had no clothes on. The text says he wore no clothes. The demons disrobed him. The demons made him take off all. Now, not some, but all his clothing. The demons made him walk around as if it was perfectly okay, exposing himself to society. Listen, when people see nothing wrong with exposing their nakedness to public, it is sinful and satanic. The demons made him take off his clothes. It is abnormal to walk around with no clothes on. And a lot of people see nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, media gets behind it. There's a cowboy in New York called him Robert John Burke, better known as the Naked Cowboy, who walked around with his underwear on, with his guitar in the streets of New York, playing his guitar. And people travel to New York just to get a picture with him. Abnormal. Erykah Badu had a song, Wonder Seat. And as she was in the video, and as she walked along singing her song, she was taking pieces of her clothes off until she became completely nude. Abnormal. On Facebook, social media pages, take it off your clothes. Christ. To expose yourself to the world abnormal. Going outside of your house, walking in your community with nothing on, abnormal, belonging to a new society, abnormal. Y'all ought to help me preach and tell them there's something wrong when you won't put some on. They made him derobe himself to completely expose himself to society. Listen, society don't need to see all of you. Come on. I'm preaching, then y'all say amen. But when Satan and his demons are present, listen, it takes your mind and it gets you away from what's decent and what's right. And you will begin to do those things that are ungodly and bestial and animal-like. This man had no clothes on. But not only that, this man didn't abode in any home, but he lived in the tomb. The man was not passing through the cemetery. He was living in the cemetery. Now, to give you a picture, the tombs were large, carved out hollowings within the lime rock on the hills. And so you could walk into the tomb and walk out of the tomb. But the tomb was not a place for the living to live. It was a place for the dead to rest. And here this man had it twisted. The demons had him living, trying to find rest among the dead. Listen, Psalms 127 says that the Lord gives his beloved sleep, so he gives his beloved rest. We don't have to go to the cemetery to rest. We can rest anywhere we are because of who is with us. We don't need to go and find rest at the cemetery. We can find rest in our houses and in our homes. He lived in no home. But he lived among the dead in the cemetery. He was in a place of the unclean. You remember in Numbers chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, where the Lord declared, "He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, and purify not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him, and he shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet up on him. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all that comes into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which had not no covering bound upon it is unclean, and whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword is in the open field, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave shall be unclean 7 days. And instead of this man just walking through, he lived in the cemetery. So he was considered unclean because of his dwelling and because of the spirits that were in him, the demons that were in him. I'm convinced that Satan and his imps are busy separating people from normal living. That's why it's so hard for you to come to church. You think pandemic is an excuse. See, Satan is working to keep you from church. Because he knows when you get around the word and you mess around and give ear to the word and the word get in you, they got to get out of you. So they don't want you at church, because when you come to church and the word of God is being preached, that evil spirit got to be expelled out of you. That's why you got Ray Ray and Pookie and little John and little Jane acting crazy in the streets, because the churches have been shut down. You want to know how to stop the shooting? Go out and publish. You want to know how to stop some of this human trafficking? Go out and publish. Incest, molestation, you want to know how to stop? Go out and publish the word of God. They're busy. They're working with our children. The Bible says there's a spirit of disobedience, and they are driving them away from what's normal, what's supposed to be their lifestyle. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. He drove the man from normal living. But not only that, he drove the demons, strengthened the man so no normal men could help him. The demonic man disturbed society. He was naked. He was loud and boisterous. And the town people thought they could help him. So they would take hold of him and bind him in chains and feathers. But notice, the demons gave the man supernatural strength to break the chains and the feathers. See, humanistic power and methods cannot deliver humans from demon possession. That's why it doesn't matter how smart you are. You can sit around and come up with a good plan. But that plan without the anointing of God will not deliver man from satanic influence. He couldn't be helped by normal men. He was driven from their presence. They tried so much that the demon says, okay, go to the cemetery. Go into the cemetery and live in the cemetery. And that's what he did. Now, notice Satan's agenda is to separate you from people who desire to help you. His agenda is to tear up community, tear up peaceful and tranquil society, to tear up families, and to tear up homes and relationships. Everybody that tried to help him, he separated him from them. Don't that sound like our young folk today? Satanic influence run them out of the house. From under your rules, just like the prodigal son, you know, they say you too hard. That's right. And they want to live against every principle that you taught them. He wants to separate them. And listen, they have the audacity to think that they are going to succeed in living against every principle that God has given their parents to lay before them to live by. Everybody who's trying to help them, Satan will drive them from them. I'm trying to help us. In the cemetery with supernatural strength to overcome natural man. But watch Satan now. Watch the demons, because not only did he strengthen him to be stronger than any normal man and strengthen him to drive him from among normal living, but he strengthened him to cause self affliction. He calls self-destructive behavior. They can't hurt you, but they can make you hurt yourself. The man had stone, jagged edge rocks cutting his wrists. Some theologians believe he was cut all over because he was constantly cutting. He was looking for spots that he hadn't hit yet. He was cutting himself. Self-destructive behavior. Oh, this reveals the objective of demons. Demons were on a diabolic mission, and they were on a diabolic assignment, and they were causing the man to cut himself. He was suicidal. But what I like about the text, this man was cutting himself, and God, by prevenient grace, kept the man, because the man, demon possessed, had an appointment with his son. Oh, y'all just missed that. See, some of you can't shout because you think you came to Jesus. But the truth is, Jesus came to you. And the reason the world didn't take your life and then cause your death is because the Lord had an appointment for you. He was holding you and keeping you until his son made it to where you were. Is there anybody in this room can be a witness? And thank God today that the devil tried all he could, the demons tried all they could to take your life, but you still sitting up in here this morning, this afternoon, giving God praise because God kept you. It wasn't your smarts. He kept him. I see myself in this man. He kept him. I used to be out there, you know, going from club to club, going to dangerous places, but he kept me. Drinking and smoking, he kept me. Is there anybody in here can be a witness? You know you don't deserve to be here. Matter of fact, you have lived on the edge so long that you should have been and could have been gone a long time ago. But the Lord kept you. Hallelujah to his name. He had an appointment for me. He had an appointment for you. This man was cutting himself. And God reserved him in the midst of his self-destructive behavior. until the day Jesus made it to that cemetery. Listen, my last point and I'm through. We see the abounding power of Christ in the fact that what was controlling the man couldn't control Jesus, but Jesus could control them. The evil spirits that were in the man had to succumb and surrender to the power of Jesus. Notice in the text, first of all, that Jesus destined the demons to torture or torment. The demons ask, "Are you here to torment us before the time? Are you here to send us into the deep?" The word deep is abyss, which denotes bottomless pit. They knew their place of destiny is the bottomless pit. Are you here to send us to our eternal place? Now, one thing about demons, they knew their time hadn't come yet. Because it wasn't the second coming of Christ, according to the text, it was the first coming of Christ. And he will send them into the abyss at his second coming. During the battle of Armageddon and the millennial reign, he will send them into the abyss. So they ask, "Are you here?" Which reveals his power over them. Now, you may not can handle them, but Jesus can. Listen, when you got the Lord on your side, if God be for you, oh, my soul about to get happy. He's more than the whole world against you. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. We see the strength, the abounding power of Christ, and the fact that he destined demons to torment, according to verse 31. And he says, "Well, since our time is not yet, will you allow us to go into the swine?" Now, this is the second point I want you to understand in the abounding power of Christ. Jesus has power to deliver men from demonic possession. The text says, they said, "Suffer us to go into the swine." And he said, "Go." Now Luke says, "And he suffered them." He gave them permission to exit the man and enter the swine. Go. One word expelled 3,000 to 5,200 demons out of the man at one time. Y'all missing me now? Now, this is what messed me up, though, about the text, and I got to quit. Now, two facts stood before the crowd, because when this man got delivered, you would think the people that tried to help him would have been rejoicing. Now, they got upset because their livestock, their pigs, had drowned in the sea. Now, here it is, a living man stood before him. Dead pigs stood before him. and they upset over the dead pigs and fail to rejoice over the living man. Oh my God. Listen, listen, when I looked at the text, you know, there are some people just like these people. They'll rather give to dogs and hogs instead of men. But I thank God that Jesus is not like that. Because what Jesus sees is the value of the soul instead of the value of the herd. Jesus said, go. And the demons left out of the man. Went into the swines. And the Bible says that the swines ran down the steep slope and drowned in the Sea of Galilee. And it upset the town folk that they ran into the town and sought the people of the town and stirred them up against Jesus. And they all left out of the town and went to the cemetery. And instead of the man who was in the cemetery having a funeral, it was a celebration. But instead of them celebrating, they were angry because they lost their livestock. But the man who had the demons, he was at the feet of Jesus. He was clothed in his right mind. Is there anybody in the room at the feet of Jesus and clothed in your right mind? If you're at his feet, you ought to help me close this sermon union style. You ought to stand on your feet and point at somebody and say, Jesus came my way. And when he came my way, I wasn't fit to live and I wasn't ready to die. But he picked me up, turned me around, and placed my feet on solid ground. For Jesus I live, and for Jesus I die. I thank God for Jesus, because when the town folks got against him, they pushed him out of the land. But I thank God for Jesus' response to the man who he delivered. He says, stay right here. These folks need a witness. They need a living testimony. They need somebody they can look at and know that Jesus is real. When you leave this place today, you ought to be a living testimony. Everywhere you go, you ought to tell somebody that Jesus lives and he is alive in you, and he made a difference in your life. He picked your life up from the side of the road of disaster and put your feet on a solid rock of salvation. You ought to tell somebody that if you haven't tried my Jesus, you ought to give him a try today, because he's real and he's alive and well. Well, how do you know he's alive? Because one Friday he went to a hill called Calvary and gave his hands to an old rugged cross. He gave his life so that we might live. And he dropped his hands in the locks of his shoulders. He died that Friday evening. But I thank God that he didn't stay dead. Because early... Is there any early morning believers in the house? Early Sunday morning, he got out of that grave. Shout back with me, if you will, with all power, heaven and earth in his hand. Let me ask you my question before I go to my seat. Ain't the Lord all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah, yeah. The doors of the Lord's house
stands ajar. He has power over demons. The reason we're here today, in our right mind, clothed, is because he came our way. We were living in the cemetery. Had death on our minds. But Jesus came. Hallelujah. And spoke a word. Delivered us from those unclean evil spirits that were within. Listen. He did it for us. And we ought to have that same conviction and confidence that he's still able to do it in the life of others who's caught up out there in the world and caught up and influenced by evil spirits. Same Jesus. We shout about him. We read about him. But the church has become silent in sharing her witness about him, that Jesus is still able. Look at the person next to you. If he's able to save that person, he's able to still save the people that are in the world. I don't care what their vice is, what their situation is, what they're caught up in, he's still able to save. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. Come while the blood is running warm in your veins. Don't let it be declared that it's eternally too late for you. Because after death, there's no getting it right. You have to get it right in this life. He's appealing to you. And as the word says, don't harden your heart as in the day of provocation. He wants to take that heart and give you a heart of flesh, a heart that's sensitive to him, to his word, his spirit, his father's voice. Come today if you're not saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart and confess him with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shall be saved. Bless you, baby. Bless you, baby. Come on, 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 come on. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. The doors. Listen, salvation invitation. Restoration invitation. If you're here and you're backslidden, come. Come, come. Come today. He will restore you. He will restore you. Certainly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid his church on your heart, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on, come on.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, come on, come on. The Lord is appealing to your heart. Salvation. Restoration.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Fellowship, come on.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Savior.
Savior, Savior, Savior.
Come on, he's a Savior.
Savior, Savior, Savior.
Oh,
Savior, Savior, Savior.
What's the good about it?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, come on, come on.
Savior, Savior, Savior. Savior, Savior, Savior.
Oh,
Savior, Savior, Savior.
Amen. This is Sister Carson, Abriah Carson. She's coming for candidate baptism. Come on. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless you, baby. Hallelujah to His name. Amen. Bless this lady. Come on. Come on. God is well.
Nobody but
Jesus. Yes, Lord. My, my. Baby, to be baptized, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart and confess Him with your mouth. Can you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins on that old rugged cross?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Do you believe in your heart that when He died, God raised Him from the dead that third day?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Can you say Jesus is Lord of my...
Jesus is Lord of my Savior. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Savior.
Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You today for this soul that has come to You. The Lord, there's power in Your Son and in your Word. Lord, You're God of the breakthrough. You broke through that heart. And You have performed spiritual surgery to give our heart of flesh a heart that's sensitive to You and Your Word. Lord, we thank You for making her new. For You said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all has become new. Lord, we pray now as a church family that we will wrap our arms around her and love her and foster her and mentor her along the way. Lord, that this will be the first day of the rest of her life with You. And Lord, she will learn Your Word, learn of Your ways, and live a victorious life in Christ Jesus. Lord, forgive her of her sins and deliver her from unrighteousness. Help her, Lord, with the crowd and the people that have been around her. Lord, that she will walk in the newness of life and be an influence to the people, Lord, she will come into contact with. Lord, thank You for what You have done. Thank You for what You are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have an orientation class that we want you to be a part of. And you come for baptism. So next Sunday, okay, we want you to come next Sunday, the 10 o'clock, 10:30 service. And we will baptize you next Sunday. Amen. Amen. You got her information? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 Right before we benedict, we have a baby dedication service, Trinity Joy. We ask the family to come. We ask the family to come. Let me give clarity to this. This is not salvation. This is consecration and dedication. Okay? Trinity is not saved by our faith, but because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to raise her up in the way that she should go, in the way of the Lord. So this is not salvation. This is consecration and dedication. And I wanted to say that because we're not Catholic. We don't believe in infant baptism. We believe in repentance baptism, believer's baptism. Okay? And that's Mark chapter 16:16. If we believe, we should be baptized. Okay? Now, I want you all to indulge me with the scripture reading in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Come on, Denisha. Mark chapter 10. Come on, Mother Walker, Dr. Rogers, Sister Rogers, come on. Amen. Y'all are my adopted family. Doc is going to pray in a minute. Amen. He's going to pray. Amen. Listen. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And it reads this way, and they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hand upon them, and blessed them. Now, I'm going to charge myself and Lady Rogers, as pastor, charge to the parents. I charge you to train up this child in the way she should go. When she is old, she will not depart from it. And our response is, we dedicate ourselves to raising this child as a Christian. Come on, say that with me, Sister Rogers. We dedicate ourselves as raising this child as a Christian. I want that the church stand now. I want to give a charge to the church. I charge you, the New Bethlehem Baptist Church, to be a learning environment that fosters Christian growth and development. And we will say together, we dedicate ourselves to raising this child as a Christian. Now, all together, we welcome you into our church family. Amen.
Let us bow our heads. Oh, gracious and almighty Heavenly Father, you told us in all our ways acknowledge you, and you shall direct our paths. We can't do nothing without you. We need you every second of our lives. In you we live, move, and have our beings. You made us, and you know all about us. Be with them, dear God. Watch over. Take care. Keep your hands over them. Keep a hedge about them. We find out, dear God, we just can't make it without you. Many times we have tried, but we have failed. But now we know, dear God, we can't make it without you. Use them in your kingdom in the name of Jesus. We find out we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Oh, great Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the power you have given us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So now use them. Let the world know that you still live, and without you, we can't do nothing. So we thank you now, but we actually, we're going to receive it by faith. And you know you got the glory, you got the honor, you got all the praises. It's in the powerful name of Jesus. And the whole church say amen.
Amen. Brother Jess is coming to give us exiting instructions. Thank you so much for your participation in the baby dedication service. Let me benedict. Father, we thank you for what eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have received. Now, Lord, we ask you to lead and guide us from this place. Give us traveling grace, tender mercies that shake us and wake us in the morning and be new every day. We pray, Father, that the communion of the Holy Spirit will be with us noticeably, Lord, each and every day. We love you. We thank you. Bless these your people. Lord, bless them in their giving. Bless them in their living. As we go from this place, we blow for your glory and man's good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, sir.